Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. You know, we were just speaking about abiding, you know, and how important it is to hear the voice of the Lord, that he says, my sheep know my voice and follow none other. We follow, but we follow none other. The reason why the church hangs out together is because they're hearing the same voice, not because there's the same organization. The reason why we come together and we say amen is because every one of us heard the voice of the Lord, or supposed to have heard
the voice of God.
Supposed to have heard the voice of the Lord. And when we hear them say what we heard, we say amen, which means I agree with that. That's right. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. And so what brings us together is that we serve and follow our shepherd, the great shepherd, Jesus Christ. If only thing that holds you together is the sign on the outside of your place that you gather and not the voice of God, it's not going to be good for what's about to come up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, but if what's inside of that is the voice of the Lord, and you guys are hanging because you hear the voice of the Lord, you're going to be saved. I mean, God's going to lead you and he's going to direct you.
That's right.
But what brings us together is what we have in common with each other, Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we want you to know that religion's not the answer, that organization's not the answer. You know, that hearing God's voice, it's not for just a man to hear God's voice and tell you. You know, when you're a babe in the Lord and you just become a brand new believer, I mean, that's normal. It's just like a parent raising a child. It's a spiritual parent, really, raising a child. But there comes a day when you've got to feed yourself. You know, that'd be a young man or young woman in the Lord. You know, that you can feed yourself, that you spend time with God, you abide with God, and you're, you know, this is not based on age in itself. It's the fact that it's how long you're going to spend with God and allow him to transform you. And the third aspect of growing up is being a spiritual mother and father in the Lord, that not only can you feed yourself, but you feed others.
Amen.
You know, but it's about tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. It's about eating the things of God. You know, it's about eating the whole world, the whole word, that even God was telling Ezekiel, you need to eat everything that I'm telling you. You know, eat the whole thing. And speaking of that, you know, Steve, you were talking to me about you were spending some time with the Lord, and and he spoke to you and your abiding time. And I want to hear it, man. I want to hear that.
Well, I think about, you know, what God's been laying on our heart, and, you know, what he's been revealing to us in 2 Kings, and talking about, you know, Jehoiakim and
well, Jehoiakim is like Josiah's son,
right?
King Josiah's son, and that kind of building that whole, you know, what you're about to talk about is that he was a king that heard God's word and did what was right before God, and then God took him on, but now his sons were left, and his son was Jehoiakim.
Right, and which is what we've been learning about everything that's going on in our present nation right now. And
well, they don't know. They probably don't know about that, so we want to be able to put the context of that.
Okay, I got you.
Jehoiakim was, Josiah. Josiah was a king that when he did what was right before the Lord, and then when he went to go be with the Lord, his first son started taking over being king, and it lasted about 3 months, and he tried to build a partnership with Egypt. And then the second king, this other brother, got put in place by Egypt, and they changed his name to Jehoiakim, which means God's set man.
Right.
And you can find out about this on VFN TV for more details on that, but it's very specific because it has to do also with God speaking right now. You can hear that for God does speak. But Jehoiakim means God's set man. Then he was replaced by God is just,
right,
was Zedekiah.
Right.
And they named him Zedekiah. The world named him Zedekiah. And he took God's people into Babylon. So it was a progression there. And so that's what we've been talking about, you know. And you can find out about this on VFN TV. You need to hear it because this is where we are. I truly believe, I don't know if Egypt put our president in place or our president put Egypt in place, but either way, they're in partnership. Islam's in partnership. And it's just exactly history repeating itself that you're going to talk about, but go ahead.
Exactly. And continuing on in that, you know, really digesting and chewing and just focusing on what God has been making known to us. It was just like history is repeating itself. And when you look back in the word and what Greg was just sharing about, if you want to read more about Josiah and Jehoiakim and Zedekiah, that's in 2 Kings, and you can read through that. And when God was just speaking to me, it's like, this is going on right now in our present nation, in our present generation today. And it was like, oh my goodness, if this is happening, you know, what happened afterwards in that situation? And I had heard many times before that you've heard people say that if we can look far enough back in history, we can see our future.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was reading back through 2 Kings in my abiding time, God stopped me in 2 Kings 25:9. And
those are numbers. What does that mean? for us people out here who don't work on numbers,
it's the second chapter of the book of Kings. It's the
Kings is like the Bible.
I'm sorry. Right. It's in the Holy Bible. It's in the second book of Kings, chapter 25, verse 9.
Oh, okay.
And he says, this is the word of God. He says, he set fire, and he's talking about Zedekiah. And Zedekiah was the king that came after Jehoiakim.
So this is, and his name means God is just.
Correct.
And the one before him was God's set man.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about God is just, Zedekiah, who Egypt put in place.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And it says, this is continuing on in verse 9, he says, he set fire to the temple of the Lord, the royal place, and all the houses of Jerusalem.
Hold on a minute. So when God begins to bring judgment, then he allows the world or Egypt. I mean, this is literally Egypt doing this. Is, you know, you got to understand.
Right.
We don't need much theory here, because Egypt is the first international speech of President Barack Obama was in Cairo, Egypt, where he says, "I consider it my responsibility as the President of the United States to defend, you know, Islam from any stereotypes." Mm-hmm. Anywhere it is in the world.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then not only that, but they fixed it to give 3 days to Islam in the Democratic National Convention. Mm. I mean, it's like, do we have time to respond? I mean, this is like, but we may, because there's been plenty of times when the enemy was buffeting against God's people and it was a definite, but then we heard the Lord, we heard the prophet, we heard him responded to what God said, and we can turn. That's why we're talking to you here.
Right.
But what he's about to say, and what he's saying is, do you really think presently what we have with the First Amendment is going to stand? Do you think your houses of worship are going to stand? Do you think that the enemy's not going to come in and begin to destroy the very thing? And he said, well, we're God's people. We're talking about Israel here.
Right.
We're talking about abortions happening rampant across the land. We're talking about innocent blood shed. I don't know. It was like 3 an hour in every single county of the country. I mean, every single hour offerings to Moloch. I mean, come on, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, listen to this. Go ahead.
So continuing on in verse 9, he says, the royal place, the royal palace and all the houses of Jerusalem. And he says, every important building he burned down. Every important building. And that showed, just caught my heart, caught my spirit. And I just, I'm like, God, what are you saying to me right now? What are you saying to me about this? And he was sharing with me, and he said to me, he said, every important building in the natural will be abandoned, burned, and destroyed, so that every important building in the kingdom would thrive and grow. There will be complete devastation, not just in America, but in my creation. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken will thrive and prosper. My church will answer the call. This is the bride that I am preparing. And if this wasn't something that you were aware of, is that the bride is the church, the bride of Christ. God is setting up a wedding. God is setting up the most powerful, the most joyful, the most just pinnacle moment of celebration when the bride and Christ come together. You know, in Revelation 19:7, he says, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready.
So that's us.
That's us.
And she's dressed with white robes, which are her deeds. It's not some, you know, altar situation where we got dressed up. It's actually what we did for him.
Exactly.
Is what we're clothed. I mean, some people may walk around with this thick, you know, robe on them, and some people may look like Tarzan. You know, they did a little bit for God. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be dressed by the righteous deeds of the saints. That's what we were clothed with, right?
Right.
And think about it. Is that something?
Exactly. Yeah. And as I was writing this down in my abiding time, I was just getting just a download of all of this preparation and all of everything that God's setting up. And he continued on, like, when I was thinking about the different verses that were coming to me, and like in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, he says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride. This is the church now. This is the church. This is the people who say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, Jesus. And as I was just writing down in my abiding time, it was just, it's like you think about a dad, a father who has nothing but good things for his son. And he has set up the most beautiful bride. And I think about the many people who have welcomed me into their home, and they still have a picture of their wedding day. Mm. And the bride is beautifully dressed. In the pinnacle moment of her beauty, when she's prepared for her husband that she wants to spend the rest of her life with. And it was just like, this is a father preparing a bride for his son. Not just any son, not just any bride, but this is Jesus to spend time with together for eternity in heaven. And God continued to tell me, he says, this is my son's bride. You are the bride. My church is the bride, for she will be ready. He said, beauty is of the heart, right? Well, the heart of my bride is being prepared. Mm. I see my bride in her perfect state before she has even got there. It is my preparation that is upon her and around her. She will answer the call. Have hope in knowing that nothing is done apart from my hand, because we've heard to say that, the church is sleeping, the church is sleeping. But when she awakes, she is a sleeping giant.
Yes.
And we are going to turn this nation for Christ. We are going to turn this nation for Jesus. And the third great awakening is going to come in the name of Jesus. And God continued to say, he says, I have set the stage. I have set the time. I have set the dragon. I have set the bride. And I have set my son. This is the last act. This is for my glory. And you are a part of this. You have a plan. You have a part to play. And God has called you to this wedding day.
So it's such a now word, but that's exactly, you know, what the Lord is doing. Mm-hmm. That's a progression of this whole thing, is that, you know, there's going to be a shaking to what's not real is going to fall, right, and what is real is going to stand.
Yeah.
That everything's going to be tested by fire. I mean, everything's going to be tested by fire. Mm-hmm. And what's of God will stand, but everything that's hay, wood, stubble, stucco, stone, wood. That's not Jesus.
Right.
That's just places that we got.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to stand, but the church will stand victorious.
Amen.
I mean, the church will stand. The most powerful of the church, I mean, you think about it. I mean, here's Jesus walking down the street of Jerusalem, and people were in their buildings thinking that they had it and didn't realize he was it, and they didn't have him because he was out there. And that they could have had more of God if they would have stepped out of what they thought they had to be able to step in where God was, because Jesus was passing by. He said, listen, it'll be better on the days of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for what? Chorazin, because that's the miracles, if they were done, what God is doing and what he did in and if we would have done that in Sodom and Gomorrah, they would have actually turned to God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the things that God has done for America, and we don't think, it doesn't even cross our mind that we could be, you know, up there with Chorazin.
That's right.
That we're living the richest nation ever in the history of the world. Right. I mean, we have everything.
Wealth. Yeah. Well, you know, you hear it all the time. It says, you know, God bless America. Let me tell you something. It's time for America to bless God. The poorest American lives in more square footage than the average European.
Right. Yeah.
We're a blessed nation.
Yeah.
And it's just such a now word. You're right. And it's like, you know, you look at the time where Jesus was ministering, and it was anyone that took on a religious posture, always the Pharisees that missed
Right.
Jesus, he was there. Yeah. He was ministering. He was there.
Well, not only that, they called him Satan.
Right.
Imagine that. This is the religious folks at the time. They were supposed to know God.
Because they were jealous.
Mm-hmm. And John, just like you said, as far as, you know, we continue to hear repeatedly, God bless America. And the thing is, though, we have turned away from God and turned it to the blessing.
Yeah.
And we've become blinded by the blessing, and now we come to expect the blessing.
Mm. But they were jealous.
Right,
John. They were jealous because they were scared they were going to lose their kingdoms.
Mm.
they were fearful that more people were going to follow Jesus than were following them, and they didn't realize we were all supposed to be following Jesus.
Isn't that the point? You know what I mean? What happened when you're looking to get more people to follow you on Facebook than you want to follow on Jesus? You know what I'm saying? It's like, we're trying to build Jesus' likes here. You know what I'm saying? Not our good. Likes.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.